tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word.
Hey friends, Nicole Olstead here with Sharon Gamble on the Sweet Selah Moments podcast. We are so pleased you found us. Sharon and I pray that these episodes encourage you to learn alongside us how to be still and get to know the God who loves you. In this season, we are studying the stories of Jesus and his encounters with women. Today, in episode 161, Money Troubles, we are talking about two different stories that both deal with women. Sharon, tell us about these ladies and where in the Bible we find their encounters with Jesus.
Well, they're quite different. One is fairly wealthy and one is dirt poor. And each of them have money issues, like I think everybody on the planet. Yeah. I think there was a rich millionaire once where someone said, well, when will you know you have enough money? Mm. He said, well, you never do. You always want a little bit more, you know? So we all struggle with money. We either struggle with how we use our money or we struggle with not having enough money, Or we spend our money foolishly, whatever. So I thought both encounters, one's an encounter with Jesus. That's the first one. The other one is actually a parable where Jesus uses an example of a woman in a parable. So it's not an actual woman in this one. but they're both situations where Jesus uses women to teach a message. So that's where we're going today. And because they're such different stories, I'm going to read the first one and we're going to talk about that, her story and Jesus's, and then you'll read the second and we'll do it that way because they don't intersect a whole lot. So, all right.
Sounds good.
But this is such a sweet little wild story. Mark 12, 41 through 44. Jesus sat down near the collection box in the temple and watched as the crowds dropped in their money. Many rich people put in large amounts. Then a poor widow came and dropped in two small coins. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I tell you the truth. This poor widow has given more than all the others who are making contributions. For they gave a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything she had to live on. Good grief. Okay, Nicole. All right, what do you know about this woman just from that, what, four verses?
Right. Well, she's very poor. If her last two coins were these tiny little coins, which I think I remember reading somewhere were just about a penny.
Yeah, so
just
two pennies.
Nothing.
Probably not enough to even buy food anyway, so
well,
whatever.
That's true.
I don't know.
Yeah, just nothing. But I'm struck by her faith. She was all in. There was no holding back. She went and she offered what she had willingly to God. Like, that's so beautiful to think about that. And I think the world would have, if you could buy anything with those little pennies, that's not wise. If you only have two things left, you should try to invest them or
buy grain
or something. But she didn't. She just marched right to the temple and gave it to God. So what a faith.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. And obviously the offering box was in a place where people could see.
Because
Jesus was just watching, you know, and he saw, and I guess you could see how much money people put in because he could see the rich people putting in money, and somehow he saw the two coins. So she also had to be humble in that people would think it was a pretty pathetic gift.
Right.
Anybody that looked at her would be like, two pennies? What in the world?
Yeah.
You know, what's that? But I don't think she cared what people thought. She's like, this is all I got, Lord, and I'm going to have to trust you to sustain me because, like I said, maybe it wasn't even enough to buy anything anyways. But here it is. I want to give to you.
Oh.
It's just so beautiful.
I didn't think about it being so public because she would either look like she was being very stingy or it'd be very apparent that she was very poor. Either way, she doesn't look good.
Right.
Given
right.
Those
she
two
really
little
doesn't.
Coins.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
It is kind of strange. I mean, for us now, we can pay online.
Yeah.
Or, you know, Ray always folds our check in half.
Yes.
Before
right.
he puts
Parents
it
doing that. Putting it down face
puts
down.
It in the plate. So nobody has to know
right.
what we give or what we don't give. But I guess it was pretty public. Right?
Yeah, for him to
Must
notice
have been.
That. That's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. And what an interesting pastime for Jesus to sit and be watching.
I was thinking, could you imagine Jesus watching you tithe? I mean, he does each time, but
yes, he actually
sitting
does.
Across from Jesus, I'm like, oh, that'd be quite the experience.
Yeah, yeah. And because Jesus is God in flesh, moving now to Jesus's story, Jesus knew her story. Nobody else would know that was all she had.
Right.
He knew. Mm-hmm. Do you know what's so sweet about that to me? The fact that Jesus sees what we think goes unnoticed. Mm. Right?
Yeah.
When I was nice to Dad Gamble in the middle of the night when he'd call me, and I didn't want to be nice because I got woken up out of a sound sleep and I was going to have to change his whole bed. Jesus saw that. Mm. Right? Mm-hmm. And that's a sweet thing. Or when you as a mama have, you know, two sick children and you're cleaning up grossness,
yes.
Basically. We'll leave it at that. And you manage to make them not feel embarrassed about it. Mm. Jesus sees that. No one else does, you know? It just makes me happy that nothing is missed. Yeah. Every little tiny cold cup of water given, right? Mm.
And I think of that, if it's given freely. She went to the public place to give her offering. Like we said, people saw her. And she gave it freely with no restriction. She gave it all. What can God do with our tiny little offerings, with our weak offerings, with our things that don't seem important, like middle of the night trips that just seem like a bother or like a trial to get through? But there's a verse in Ephesians that I love, Ephesians 3:20. It says, "Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think." And another version says, imagine. So I love that verse right now. So when I pray for things, or if I give God something that I feel like is not my best work, God, do more with it. Do more than I can think or ask, because I don't have much to offer. Here's my two little pennies. What can you do with this, God? Mm-hmm. He can do so much with that.
He sure can. He sure can. And it's obvious that he didn't care about amounts. Jesus is like, those rich people, actually, they have so much extra money, and they actually gave a very tiny bit of it,
right?
Because he said they gave a little bit out of their surplus. Mm. She gave it all. Mm. So the amount of giving, I don't think, matters nearly as much to God as the heart of giving. And, you know, am I holding money back because of comfort, my own comfort? Or am I giving till it hurts a little bit because I actually don't need to go out to eat with Ray all the time? You know, I don't need to buy a new sofa, that kind of thing. He sees our hearts.
Mm. No, that's so good. If we just wait to give out of our surplus or our excess, or when it doesn't really cost us much, it's not an inconvenience. It's just something we would just do.
We just do it.
Part of our daily.
Yeah. Yeah. It's part of, you know, you pay the bills, you give your tithe.
Yeah.
You know, it's for me, it comes at Christmas when we always do the Christmas gift.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, all right, this is a wonderful project that our church has going. Now we give not just, you know, the norm, but we give extra.
Yeah.
And it's a good thing. Mm-hmm. It is. It's good for us. It's good for us to let go of our control of money, which is all an illusion anyways.
Yes, but we love to cling to it, don't we?
We sure do. We sure do. I think of the stock market crash in 1929. Not that I was alive then.
I was like, you are not alive for that. Hold on.
People were so thinking, well, I've got all this money saved. I'm going to be fine in retirement.
Yeah.
And in a day, it was gone. Mm. Just gone.
Yeah.
And that can happen. There can be a coup in a country. And all of a sudden, you've got a dictator and the money's worthless.
Right.
Things can happen. We are never to put our treasures on earth, where rust and moth corrupt and all the things that Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount about it, because you can't guarantee it. We want to.
Right.
We want to feel safe with it. There's only one place to be safe, and that's in his hands.
Mm.
And that little widow just gave what she had and had to trust that her next meal would be provided.
Yeah. That's a pretty bold faith.
Oh,
I admire her.
So very challenging. Mm-hmm. But I did want to pull us to 2 Corinthians 8, which actually is not talking about women.
It's okay, we'll allow it.
We are deviating a little bit because Paul talks so beautifully about generous giving.
Mm.
And I think it gives us a really fuller perspective on it for us. So I am going to read 2 Corinthians 8. Just his section that in my Bible is called A Call to Generous Giving. So this is what he says. He says, "Now I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. They are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor. But they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity."
Wow.
Okay, so these guys are super poor, and yet evidently they're still helping Paul. Wow. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. And they did it of their own free will. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift for the believers in Jerusalem. So no matter how poor they were, they're like, oh, but the people in Jerusalem are suffering more. We want to give to them. They even did more than we had hoped. For their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us, just as God wanted them to do. So he's, you know, obviously commending them. So he says, so we have urged Titus, who encouraged your giving in the first place, to return to you and encourage you to finish this ministry and giving. Since you excel in so many ways, in your faith and your gifted speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, and your love from us, I want you to excel also in this gracious act of giving. I'm not commanding you to do this, but I am testing how genuine your love is by comparing it with the eagerness of the other churches. Wow. You know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty he could make you rich. Here's my advice, says Paul. It would be good for you to finish what you started a year ago. Last year, you were the first who wanted to give, and you were the first to begin doing it. Now you should finish what you started. Let the eagerness you showed in the beginning be matched now by your giving. Give it proportion to what you have. Okay, so he's not saying, give us all your money. Give in proportion to what you have. Whatever you give is acceptable if you give it eagerly.
Aww.
Now, isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
We're not asking you to... Here, take it.
Right. Take every last drop.
Right. It's acceptable when you give eagerly. God wants a cheerful giver, which is what the King James said. And give according to what you have, not what you don't have. Right. We're not asking you all to give all your money like the widow's two mites, basically. Of course, I don't mean your giving should make life easy for others and hard for yourselves. I only mean that there should be some equality. Right now, you have plenty and can help those who are in need. Later, they may have plenty and can share with you when you need it.
Oh, I love that.
In this way, things will be equal. So there's his advice, and it's just so good, Nicole. It really is. He's celebrating generosity. He's stunned at how it's often the case, too, that poor people give more because they know what it's like to do without. And when they hear someone worse off than themselves, they have an empathy that people that... Who was it? I think it was Marie Antoinette in France, shortly before her head was taken from her body, said, what, they don't have bread? Well, let them eat cake. She had no idea. She had no idea that these people were starving. In her mind, well, there's not bread in the house. Go get some cake. She just had no clue. Sometimes we get so rich, we have no clue what it is to be poor. We really do. So
I love the end, too, how it helps to build good relationships, too. It's not just, I think if we give to those in need when we have more, it keeps us humble when we will be in need, because most likely we're going to, because life is just a little bit crazy. So when it's my turn to be needy, I've got people that I have poured into that are willing to help me back and love back. So that's kind of cool, too. It keeps us humble, and then it builds good relationships with people.
It does. It does. And it's actually easier to give to than to receive, I think. Receiving is humbling and embarrassing. But if we need it, we need it. And if I remember the joy I had in helping someone, I don't want to deny them that joy in helping me when
really
I have a need.
That's a really good point.
And that's the beauty of church community, Nicole, isn't it? And our little Christmas gift, which is usually huge. Everybody gives so generously.
Especially at Christmas time when like everyone's like a little bit tight. I'm always so surprised by how
it's
generous
amazing.
People are.
But if we have a family in our church that has gone through a tragedy or something like that, we all come together. And I love it.
Me
I love
too.
Being in church community.
Yeah.
I really do.
It's a good
and
thing.
I like ours. Okay. Now, why don't you bring us to our parable, which is about another woman who obviously has more money, and her story.
All right. So I'm going to be reading from Luke 15, 8 through 10. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. He was in the middle of a parable. I think it was the lost sheep before this, wasn't it? Was he doing two?
Yeah, the lost sheep, and then this one, and then you get the prodigal son.
Yes, that's
it's
right.
It's three
He's
in a row.
The lost.
So this one is like tucked in the middle.
Yeah, it's kind of a small one, but just so that's the, or suppose. So, or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and sweep the entire house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she will call in her friends and neighbors and say, "Rejoice with me because I have found my lost coin." In the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents.
Oh,
I love that verse. Yeah. That's always so fun.
So what do we learn about this woman that Jesus uses as an example in a parable?
I think it's neat that she wasn't satisfied with, well, I have 9, that's good enough. I had 10. You know, she didn't just kind of accept that. She was committed to taking care of them all. And some thoughts have been that it could have been her dowry. So a very special amount of money that she would be guarding and taking care of. So to lose one would have been pretty devastating. But she was showing great care and taking care of something so precious. She knew the value of it.
Yes. She didn't take it lightly at all. No. And she's searching the whole house. She's got the lamp lit. And, you know,
it took a day to do it or whatever, however long it took her to find the coin.
Yes. Well, Ray this morning on a totally different note, could not find the keys to get into PCA.
Oh, no.
My husband is a teacher at Portsmouth Christian Academy, and he opens the building every morning because he's not supposed to be there till 7:40, and Ray believes he should be there between 6:30 and 6:45 a.m. because that's my Ray. So he's always first one in.
Wow.
And he could not find his keys, and we were dashing all around looking everywhere because Ray likes being first one in.
Yeah. Nice quiet start to his day.
Yes. So we finally did find the keys, and I do believe he got to open the door like he usually does.
I haven't got any calls. But school's canceled yet.
I've just got this very recent memory of scurrying around and looking, you know, not quite in the freezer, but in weird places. Because it's like, where could it have gone? Where could these keys be? Kind of thing. So, but that's what she did. She's like, I had 10. I know I had 10. Mm. Where is that coin? And she really pushed
every other activity to find. When you lose something, it becomes your main focus. Like, you're not doing anything else you had going on, stops immediately, and all your attention gets focused on finding that lost item.
And she isn't satisfied just to find it. Mm. She's calling in her friends and neighbors. Mm-hmm. Good gravy.
She's kind of funny.
Yeah, she's like, you guys, I found it.
Come see, it was right here.
Look at this, I got it. So obviously, it was a big deal.
Yeah, and maybe they saw her scurrying about, sweeping furiously, looking for it. Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah. I love that. So, so let's move to Jesus. What is he teaching us in this story? What do we learn about Jesus from this story? What's the moral of the story?
I think because of the last verse where it says that in the same way there's joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents, I think he's using the story to show us just his heart for the lost.
Yes.
You know, and how precious each one of us is to him, because we are all lost at one point. That was us every time. We're that lost coin. We're that lost sheep. And he rejoices when we're found. And that, what a love.
I know.
What a love for us that he has when we were lost and useless. If you're gone, you're gone. There's no value to it.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
the fact that he seeks us out and then rejoices when we're found.
I mean, even throws a party when we're found.
Yes. The angels throw a party. The angels. Angels feel like they're kind of like special creatures. And they party when we're saved. Like, that's amazing.
That is amazing.
That's really cool.
Yeah. And I love the thought that even if 9 are saved, you know, who am I? All these other people are saved. Right. Oh, no, you're important too.
He wants all.
That one that is lost is important too. I think that's the thing, is we can think we don't matter. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a whole lot of billion people on this planet, you know, and you can feel very lost in that kind of a multitude. Okay. No, he goes after the one. Mm-hmm. He goes after you if you're lost. And just doesn't rest till he finds you and then throws the party. So I love that story too, even though it's not so much about money actually, but it uses money as a vehicle to help us see how precious we are to him.
Yeah.
And I love that so much. So, all right. Well, let's tell our stories now. Well, when we first got married, we did not tithe. I was horrified because, again, we came from different backgrounds, right?
Yes.
Ray's parents stopped going to church when he was 8 years old, and they just never went back. And so when I first met him, he was an atheist, and then he accepted Christ. But he still didn't have the background that I had. So I said, well, no, we give 10%. That's what we do. He's like, we can't afford to do that, right? So Nothing I said convinced him, and it was really annoying. We put $5 or $10 in the plate, and it bugged me so much. Even though I know it's not legalistic, and even though I know Paul says, you know, God wants a cheerful giver, all the things. So then we attended church, and one of the pastors at the church said everything to Ray I had already said. Made no difference to Ray. But somehow this pastor saying it, Ray came home convicted. He said, you know what? We should give 10%. I'm like, yes. So, but because he's Ray, true confessions, we were not the widow. We did not immediately the next week give 10%. We gave 2.5% for a month. Then we gave 5%. Then we gave 7.5%.
I adore him. That's
he is so meticulous. Yeah. And this was good for me. He's the head of the home, and a good way to get a husband that never makes decisions and doesn't care and checks out is to always boss them around by making myself wait through this whole process. Ray is an active husband who does make decisions in the home. I've talked to so many women, Nicole, who are like, he won't decide anything. He doesn't care. He shrugs his shoulders. But sometimes we create that monster by knowing better all the time.
Yeah.
Right.
So what are they going to do then? They might as well just
Give up.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, that's my story.
I love. And maybe if you had pushed him to do five right away, his heart wouldn't have grown with that. It would have been a duty more so than a joyful
than
giving.
A joyful giving.
That was his process to get to that amount.
Yeah.
So, oh, I love that.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
so cool.
Yes. That's my fun story.
So my story about trusting God with money and income. I breed dogs. I breed puppies. And my income is our extra income. So we live off Josh's income. And then anything I make from the puppies goes to the girls' tuition currently. We prayed about it on where to send our kids to school. And we felt very strongly that he was telling us to send them to PCA. And it's tough to send four kids to a private school.
Yes.
It's incredibly expensive. We could not afford it without God. So every year we pray and say, Lord, if this is where you still want them, then it's up to you to make this happen. The nature of my job is very fluctuating. I could have one puppy. I could have none. I could have nine. So it's completely up to God. I have to trust him.
It really is, isn't it?
I can't create puppies on my own. I can do my best and do the numbers and make a beautiful, loving environment, but I can't force my income to increase. So I have to take it as he gives it.
Yeah.
And sometimes it seems really good. And then just recently, my mama that normally has nine had one puppy. And I'm sweating it a little bit because we were like, oh, this is great. With this batch, we're going to pay for a whole year and be kind of ahead. And now we're not. So now we're literally praying for the next batch of puppies to be enough to supply. But being in that position is trusting.
We
have to trust. And then I do put aside 10% of my income from the puppies. And it's fairly large amount because I get paid all at once, right?
Yeah.
When
you get
paid weekly, you take a little bit out here and there and you give your 10%. But to give 10% all at once, it's a very big number. It's very exciting. And then I'm always tempted to be like, well, should I keep like 5% just in case we don't have puppies? And Josh and I are talking about like, nope, we're gonna do it.
It's
hard. It's harder to give a big amount. Like
full
confession here. It's really hard to give a huge chunk.
Yeah.
When you don't when you might, I feel like we're gonna need it.
Yeah.
I feel like we're going to need it, but I'm trying to give that to God and trust that he's got this.
If he wants my
girls there, he'll keep them there. And I need to just kind of relax a little so more gray hair doesn't come out.
Well, when Ray started teaching at Portsmouth Christian Academy, his salary was $19,000 a year.
Oh, no.
I know.
Not a lot.
That is not much money at all. He did have an Army pension, but that wasn't much more.
Yeah.
So we basically dropped $40,000 a year in income for him to teach at Portsmouth Christian.
Wow.
And I was a homeschool mom. Mm-hmm. I was not working. I was trying to build a piano business at that point to make extra money, you know, to supplement. So, that was a walk of faith right there. Mm. But do you know what? I'm like, we'll never have vacations. I can't buy any clothes, you know. My best friend from fourth grade, Julie, lived in a beautiful home on Cape Cod within walking distance of the ocean with a built-in swimming pool. And she called me when I was whining about vacations. And she said, we have a cat that we don't like to leave alone for 2 weeks. And we're going away for 2 weeks. Would you guys like to stay in our house and cat sit?
Well,
I know. For 10 years, We vacationed on the Cape.
Sharon.
We had better vacations than we've ever had in our lives. In fact, Mary and Angel came one time, and Angel proposed to Mary at the Cape.
That's so special.
Yeah, and Julie and Ken sprang for lobster dinner afterwards. I mean, we have so many memories there.
Yeah.
God's like, I've got this. Mm-hmm. You are doing what I asked you to do, mm-hmm. teach at Portsmouth Christian, here. And then, you want to hear more?
Yes.
It's so fun. The whining about the clothing.
Yeah.
One of my piano students' mothers said to me, you're about the same size as my mom. My mom is a shopaholic. She buys all expensive clothes from Talbot's and, you know, all these places,
yeah.
Macy's and I don't know, whatever, what place she said. And then she doesn't wear them. Can I just bring some clothes over? They're brand new.
Wow.
I never looked better. And I didn't have to spend a cent.
Yeah.
Same with the girls. We had hand-me-downs that were the nicest I'd ever seen.
Mm.
We never lacked.
Mm-hmm.
We had nothing. We were really up against it in terms financially.
Yeah.
We never lacked.
Oh.
And it was such a good lesson for me.
Yeah.
You know, it was amazing. So all praise to God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he does provide. He says, again, Sermon on the Mount, because I'm writing a book on it.
Yeah.
It's sort of on my mind like every 2 seconds and every single podcast, it seems lately. But Jesus says, look at the lilies of the field.
Mm.
You know, they don't toil or spin, and he takes care of them. I will take care of you. And we've seen it. We've seen it in some pretty miraculous and happy little ways.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
Isn't that fun? Yeah.
It's so fun when we do things that are what God wants us to do in countercultural, because he really does bless us in ways that
he does.
Don't. Yeah, Josh recently left a job and also took an income decrease, but because we thought the job would be a better fit for him so he could be around the kids more and
uh-huh.
home more and more flexibility. But he's still, being a man and being the provider, he'll go back and forth and be like, oh, I hope this was the right choice, because it feels like it's not, because
Josh,
we're kind of tight.
Yeah.
So there's always that pull to more, because the world is like, why would you take a job unless it's better and
uh-huh.
more income and more
uh-huh.
prestige? So it's really hard to live out the principles of the Bible sometimes practically.
It is.
And then trust him.
It
but
is.
We have all we need and then some.
We
are so blessed.
We absolutely do.
Yeah.
One of Mary's boyfriends in college, who thankfully she did not marry,
oh, no.
said to Mary, you know, your parents have really let you down. And she said, how? He said, they are not living up to their earning potential.
Their earning potential? That's amazing. It's like, why, thank you.
Yep. I said, nope, we're not, because
yeah.
that's not our priority.
Yeah.
God called Daddy to teach at Portsmouth Christian. God called me to work in Christian ministry,
yeah.
and we are happy as can be.
Mm-hmm.
So, sorry.
Yeah. Sorry to disappoint.
There you go. Well, let us pray. Oh, Father God, we so thank you for your provision. And Father, when I think of other countries where people don't even have a shelter at night, and where there is no time for podcasts because they're trying to find food for the day, it's so easy, Father, to compare ourselves to those that have more, but we are really, truly so blessed with what you have given us.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank you that most of all, you've given us your love, your peace, your joy, and eternal life with you. We honor you, and we ask that you'd make us generous. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks so much for listening in as we talked about the widow's small offering to a big God. Our prayer is for a faith like hers to give back freely to the one who gave us everything. If our podcast was a blessing to you, it would mean the world to us if you subscribed or wrote a review. We get so excited when we hear from our listeners. Please email us with any prayer requests you may have, or to join our podcast partner newsletter. You can email us at nicole@sweetzela.org. And please join us next time for episode 162, Bring Your Children to Jesus. Until next time, don't forget to take the time to just stop, Sela, and be with Jesus. Me.